Assalamu alaikum, I'm your host Javed Khan Jadoon. Listeners, we have with us in our studio a very special guest. And the special guest is Neil Bune, UN Resident Coordinator in Islamabad. Just to remind you that Radio Pakistan and United Nations Islamabad chapter have a long history of cooperation and collaboration to highlight the activities of the UN body in Pakistan and let the people of Pakistan know what the global community is doing for them in a host of fields, including health, education, and social services delivery. We'll be talking about two very important issues which Pakistan faces today. One is the issue of resettlement of internally displaced persons in Fatah. And second is the return of the Afghan refugees to their homeland with dignity and honor. And Neil is a very right person to talk about the UN contribution and UN assistance in this regard, the kind of assistance which UN has been extending to Pakistan, and the future plans of the world body in this regard. Welcome to our show, Neil Bune.
It's a privilege to be here, and I really deeply appreciate the cooperation with the UN family in Pakistan.
Thank you. Neil, we were just talking about the significance of the assistance with the UN body, with the United Nations extending to Pakistan as far as the resettlement of internally displaced persons are concerned. My question is, how important it is for the UN to continue to extend assistance to Pakistan in this regard, so that these internally displaced people could get resettled in their homes, as Fatah has been cleared mostly of terrorist sanctuaries, and it's about time that they should go back, get resettled, and start their lives once again.
Yeah, I think the good news amidst the bad news that these people suffered over many years from being displaced from their homes is that more than half of them, in fact, have returned. And we've been assisting with that return, as well as assisting the authorities in helping rebuild schools, helping get the health systems functioning, helping get the economies functioning. It's a tremendous hardship that these people have had to go through, being years away from their home. And in some areas, the areas that they need to go back, things have been destroyed. I was in Koram about 3 months ago, into an area where people hadn't been for 6 years. It was a beautiful place, fantastic villages, but every house I went to was destroyed. The schools, the walls were there, but they weren't functional. And the irrigation systems, were no longer working. So all the things that they needed for everyday life,
basically their lifeline.
Their lifeline had to be rebuilt. And we try to support the authorities in doing that, but most importantly, support the people in doing it.
Neil, as you said, that maybe half of them have already returned to their homes, but still a large number of displaced people are still there. You said that their lives have to be rebuilt, the infrastructure has to be rebuilt, and the schools and hospitals and so many other things. And it seems to be a very gigantic task for the government of Pakistan as well. And their resettlement is so important as far as the fight against global terrorism is concerned, because this would give a kind of a message, not to the displaced persons, but the people of Pakistan as well, that government and the global community is taking care of them. In this particular context, what are the prospects that the global community will stay engaged with Pakistan as far as this particular task is concerned?
Yeah, over the last years, there's been a lot provided. I mean, we spent about $400 million or so in that area the last year. And there is a very good relief and rehabilitation plan, which the UN is involved with the support of many countries. The World Bank and Asia Development Bank, Chinese government is also involved. But the bulk of the investment is coming from Pakistan. But one of the challenges we have is ensuring that this support continues, because what often happens is when an emergency happens, people see the pictures of the people who've been dislocated or moved, they see the extreme suffering and money is there.
Yeah.
But when people start to go back, they don't. And unfortunately, then what happens is sometimes those people end up facing troubles. Sometimes the reasons for their displacement can come back if they're not settled properly. So we really need to make an effort to ensure that the community is engaged. Now, we've been trying to do that through publicity, through engagement with media, through briefings mm-hmm. in Geneva, but it is a challenge. Yeah.
It's a challenge. Anil, as they say that you try and wean away some of the people maybe who had certain extremist tendencies, and then comes the process in the phase of rebuilding their lives. And if there's any disenchantment, any dismay, or any dejection as far as the resettlement is concerned, there's always a lurking danger that some of them might even, you know, sort of start thinking about going back to the old ways. Mm. Some of them who have, you know, really changed themselves, and they are trying to become part of the part of the society and productive part of the society. Mm. So what would you suggest? Definitely it's not only the UN which can help out, and it's not only the Pakistan government is doing what it can, but global community's continued engagement is imperative if we have to succeed as far as this global war on mm. terror is concerned.
Yeah, when I was in Kurd.
Sorry for interjection. And we have seen that some of the attention is being shifted towards conflicts like in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in other countries as well. And it's, I think, quite natural as well. But given the significance of this particular region, as it's a bordering area between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and we know that if this particular area is not really taken care of, there is a lingering danger that issue will remain there.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in Kurram, I was quite encouraged that one of the communities I visited, who had been displaced, who had returned, had managed to rebuild, partly through assistance, I think, partly through money sent back through remittances, but they still faced a degree of uncertainty, and that was even highlighted even more when I was in Bara, near Peshawar, a month or so before that, when, again, excellent work done in providing the immediate support, but there was a lot of uncertainty that people faced in how they were going to make their livelihoods. And talking to some of the elders of the village, I mean, they said, well, you should really put a prioritization on livelihoods and education. And they said, because education, so that our children, young men, girls stay in school, but also livelihood so that they remain engaged and cannot be tempted by
extremists
or other ones who may offer assistance or offer another way of life. But what was impressive to me was the sense of community that there was, and I think that's the strength that there is, particularly in these areas of Fatah, but it's true in other areas of Pakistan, a real commitment by the people themselves to try to ensure this doesn't happen. So our role, and I think that of the government to an extent as well, is to really facilitate their own efforts to build back. But we have to give them the chance. If they don't get the chance, then there's that frustration that you talked about, which has a risk associated with it.
Neil, any numbers? Do you have any figures and numbers? How many people have gone back to their homes and how many are still left in the camps?
Well, in 2015, there were about 1.7 million people displaced. Half of those have returned. Mm-hmm. So roughly 750,000 have returned. And in camps, there's actually good news. There's very few people left in camps. I mean, the people who are...
They're staying with relatives.
They're staying with relatives. We call them host communities.
Rented houses.
In fact, one of the things that was encouraging in one of my visits is I visited a camp that had been in place for 6 or 7 years. 2 days later, that camp wasn't there anymore because people had returned. And that's a story that's being repeated. So we've often said, you know, to the international community, there is actually progress in Pakistan with the return. In many places, you have protracted situations. Mm-hmm. Displaced people remain forever. There's frustration. Here, you've actually got progress, so we should try to reward that progress and make sure that that progress is sustained for the reasons that you talked about earlier.
How much time you believe is going to take for the rest of the displaced people to return to their homes?
Well, I think the government's target is actually by the end of the year. And if you look at the
end of 2016,
that they all get back. I mean, there's challenges with that, but I think there's a strong commitment towards it, and we'll do our best to try to help that happen.
So, Anil, are you satisfied with the level of cooperation with the different government agencies?
Yeah, we're working with lots of government agencies. We're working with the government of KPK. We're working with, because a lot of the people are hosted in KPK. We're also working with the Fatah Secretariat. We're working with the political agents of the different areas, the ministries within Fatah, and we have close cooperation with the Pakistan military as well. And the cooperation is good. It is not easy in any country when you're returning people to an area that's been affected by conflict, and where there's still, you know, despite the tremendous progress that's been made, there's still some element of insecurity. So the fact that we have this cooperation actually allows us to work in places that many people think otherwise are dangerous. But we actually can go there and support the people, and that's a credit to the cooperation.
No doubt in that, Neil, that the role of United Nations has been so significant that the people of Pakistan do understand that United Nations, you know, is always there. That any there's any need for UN's assistance, whether it is a national calamity or we are talking about the, you know, the help or assistance for the displaced people. There's another important issue, Neil, and that is the return of millions of hundreds of thousands of Afghan refugees to their homeland with dignity and honor. Neil, Pakistan has been hosting these refugees for the last several decades. And Pakistan has borne the brunt of fight against terror and has lost so much as far as economy is concerned. And now I think resources are very meager. The country doesn't have so much resources to still host millions of refugees in Pakistan. We'll be talking about this particular issue, but we'll take a short break and we'll come back.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel for in-depth discussion and analysis of top news stories of national and international significance. Tune into Current Affairs channel 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. for credible, accurate and unbiased shades of opinion. Keep listening to Radio Pakistan.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel for in-depth discussions and analyses of top news stories of national and international significance. Tune into Current Affairs channel 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. for credible, accurate and unbiased shades of opinion. Keep listening to Radio Pakistan.
Welcome back. Listeners, we are in an exclusive session with the UN Resident Coordinator, Mr. Neil Bhune. Am I right?
Perfect.
Okay. Neil, as before we went for the break, I was talking about the return of the Afghan refugees from Pakistan to their homeland with dignity and honor. We know that the government of Pakistan has this very specific view that return of Afghan refugees is imperative, but Pakistan would like to see them going back to their homes with respect, with dignity and with honor, as Pakistan has been host to them for the last three and a half decades. As we know, Neil, that there are about 1.5 million documented Afghan refugees and the same number is undocumented. So Pakistan is actually hosting about 3 million Afghan refugees, which is probably one of the biggest refugee population in the world. What kind of a future you see for them as far as the return is concerned? And how can United Nations assist Pakistan in repatriating these Afghan refugees with dignity, with honor, with respect to their homeland, though we know that the conflict still goes on inside Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, I worked here, you know, from 90 to 95, and at that time I saw refugees going back. I saw refugees coming out as well. And I don't think people outside appreciate how much Pakistan has done to host these people. And it's a credit to the government that the government is committed to this return with dignity and honor. In terms of what we can do to assist with the repatriation, I think the most important thing is that we work together with our colleagues on the Afghan side and help try to create those conditions which permit them to return. That there is a program called the Solution Strategy for Afghan Refugees, which actually laid out a whole series of projects which would enhance that return. I think the other thing that was done recently during Mr. Filippo Grandi, the High Commissioner for Refugees visit, was that UNHCR agreed to increase, actually but not just increase, but double the amount of funds that would be available to the refugees to give them an incentive to return, to make it easier for them to return. But any refugee returning, the issue also is the security that you're returning to. I mean, my father was a refugee in World War II, fleeing war, and he always was moving towards a safe place. Pakistan has been a safe place for these refugees for many years. For them to go back, they have to be convinced that Afghanistan is a safe place and that the conditions in their areas are conducive to them to return, and we have a commitment to help them do that.
Neil, Prime Minister of Pakistan has extended their stay in Pakistan for another 6 months. Yeah. Realistically speaking, I think this is about time. 6 months time period given to them once again. Mm-hmm. And conditions, as we know, that very maybe slowly, but they are getting back to normalcy in Afghanistan. Still, some parts are conflict hit where Taliban insurgency is going on. But it is basically and primarily the responsibility of the Afghan government to maintain normalcy, peace and security in that country. Unless peace returns to Afghanistan, the return of the refugees will be a difficult process. Is it enough time period, another 6 months? And do you see that Afghans are going to return back to their home?
I mean, I don't think anyone can, you know, have a view into the future on exactly how the situation in Afghanistan will develop. I do know that Afghans will return if the conditions are there. There was recently a seminar when Mr. Grandi was here that I gave the concluding remarks, and I started by drawing attention that you know, when I was watching the T20 cricket finals, I was devastated because the two teams that I cheered for, Pakistan and Sri Lanka, I used to work in Sri Lanka, didn't do very well. But there was this great team of Afghans, and they were Afghans who had grown up in Pakistan, they were Afghans who had learned cricket in Pakistan, and they had returned and were representing their country. I think that's the model you want, is that people can draw from the skills they've had here and go back and actually contribute to peace in the country, because yes, it brings the country together. In
absolutely
fact, sports
does. That's a very logical point.
And we somehow have to. I mean, we, the United Nations, does not have all the power. Ultimately, it is the countries themselves who have to create that environment. But we have to do our best to draw attention to this issue. And my colleagues in UNHCR, I think, have done an excellent job over the years drawing attention to the issue. Mr. Grandi, the new High Commissioner, the very first visit he made was to Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran to draw attention to the fact that these Afghans still are suffering, that these countries have hosted them for 30 years, and that more needs to be done to get them back home.
You have raised a very, very important point, Neil, when you said that the Afghans, of course, we know that in the last 30 years they came as kids and now they are grown up. They have learned the Pakistani way of life. they have lived here, they have worked here, and they understand the life when it is a peaceful life, how important it is for young people to grow up and to get assimilated in a society. And you rightly said that when they go back to Afghanistan, they will take these values with them, and I think they are going to contribute in creating harmony in their society, and ultimately they will be contributing in peace as well.
Right.
But now the important aspect is that the global community is losing its interest as far as Afghan refugees are concerned, given the reality that there are conflicts elsewhere as well. But without global community support, it will be difficult for Pakistan to even get them repatriated. UN is doing what UN can do. Why global community? On the pretext that there are conflicts elsewhere as well. Because it gives the kind of impression to the people in Pakistan and the refugees and the Afghan people as well that once the issue is on the back burner, they turn their backs toward the region, towards these countries, and they just abandon them. Is it correct?
I think I can understand easily the frustration. I mean, there's so much attention being put now on the suffering of the Syrians,
the refugees,
and a lot of resources are going to that, and a fair amount of resources are also going to accommodating those refugees when they're arriving, mainly in Europe, though in some other countries as well. And I don't think there's a deliberate de-emphasis on the plight of Afghan refugees, but there is an increased emphasis on these other issues, and that's the result. And I mean, as Mr. Grandi said, as we've said within our country team, this is not something that we agree with, and we don't think it's in the interest of the world, and we don't think it's in line with international standards. I mean, assistance should continue for these refugees. The refugees should have a choice to return in a dignified way. There's always the possibility of resettlement, which is another option.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, if the host country agrees, and the refugee, sometimes people stay as well. But those are the traditional solutions that there are for refugee environments. Sometimes people go to another place.
Is the United Nations getting enough assistance and in terms of financial support, and are these resources enough to contribute as far as UN is concerned, whatever it can contribute?
I think first it's important to emphasize that the largest expenditures on this are actually from the government of Pakistan and from people and communities. We are grateful for the support we're providing, but if you look in relative terms to what's spent on other issues, other things around the world, I mean, the amount of money that is going for the refugee programs is limited. I mean, we have something called a humanitarian strategic plan that we put together for 2016. I mean, in discussion with the government. It looks at all our programming. It looks at issues of the displaced people internally that we talked about. It looks at issues of preparedness, but it also includes refugees. And the total amount we've asked for, I think it was $460 million for that. Now, that's a substantial amount. But still, if you look at the cost of constructing a shopping center someplace, if you look at an expensive parking lot at a large hotel, you might get up to that amount fairly quickly. So it's a question of prioritization. An investment now in helping these people continue be supported properly, an investment now in helping them in the future, will bear good returns. And somehow we have to make that case.
You said about $465 million, which United Nations wants, and how much you expect to get?
Well, last year we got about 60-70% of what we had requested. So of that 460, we got a bit more than $300 million. I would hope we get that much this year. At the moment, though, we're not on target for that. The amount that we've received is much lower than that.
Now, what are your expectations?
I mean, it's hard to say. If we go on continued trends, I mean, we might get up to $150-200 million of that $460 million appeal. But my job and the job of my colleagues is to try to get much more than that.
Will that be sufficient to have them repatriated?
Well, that's our own appeal. That includes assistance for refugees, but there would need to be some additional funds for that as well.
Neil, how much they're paid when they leave Pakistan, the bare minimum which the refugees get?
I should know that, but I don't have that figure right at my fingertips, but we certainly can get that easily and make it available to your listeners.
So that is done by the United Nations?
UNHCR pays a repatriation grant.
A grant.
And the idea is you provide a certain amount of money, you provide a certain amount of support to facilitate those people returning. That grant, the amount was just doubled. But I don't want to say on radio an incorrect number.
But Neil, this is what you're talking about on this side of the border. What really happens when they cross the border into Afghanistan? Are they being taken care by the UN agency for refugees over there?
Yeah, if they are returning to Afghanistan as registered refugees in a proper return, there is a reception arrangement on the other side, and they are assisted.
Assisted in what manner or what way?
Well, there can be a range of assistance. It can be assistance with shelter. It can be providing food rations for the immediate time when they return. There can be cash grants. Usually there's assistance with education. But also, very importantly, there's assistance with helping them get their lives back together. One of the challenges really that's faced is that a lot of the refugees who have been here over the last years have increasingly lived a more urban lifestyle. And the areas they go back to are often rural areas. So one of the challenges is actually to take people who have been living in an urban area and maybe try to get them to return to an urban area which isn't necessarily where they're from. I mean, that's not unusual. It's an issue everywhere, but it's one of the particular challenges here.
Neil, do you see a shift in the global attitude towards these forgotten refugees, Afghan refugees in Pakistan? And will the global community, which definitely have enough resources to take care of these 3 million Afghan refugees and help them repatriate to Afghanistan and even help create conditions conducive for them there in the coming weeks, months, and you see any shift towards Afghan refugees, a positive shift?
Well, I think one thing that is positive is there's a much, much greater awareness of the issues that refugees face certainly in Western Europe, I think in a number of other countries around the world. Now, this has come from a bad circumstance. It's come from the plight of Syrians who are showing up on their doorstep. But also, I mean, a number of the people showing up on the doorstep are Afghans as well. And I have some optimism that this will show the interlinkedness of the world, and it will show that it actually makes much more sense in most circumstances to assist those refugees to do what they primarily want to do, which is to go home. And that means you need to help that country create the conditions for the return in terms of security, but also in terms of the economic and other humanitarian needs that they have. And so that, I think, is the hope, that there's much, much more awareness of the suffering that refugees go through than there was before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, maybe...
Because of the media focus as well.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Neil, thank you so much. We talked about the two extremely important issues which Pakistan today faces, the resettlement of internally displaced persons in Fatah and the return of millions of Afghan refugees to their homeland. And we understand that the United Nations is doing what it can to assist Pakistan and help the refugees to go back to Afghanistan and assist the displaced persons to get resettled in tribal areas and help them rebuild their lives. Mm-hmm. And Pakistan greatly appreciates that. Thank you so much for joining us on our show. I hope that we can continue to talk about other issues as well when we have another session, another exclusive session. There's so much more to talk about as far as UN's role in Pakistan is concerned.
Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you to the listeners, and I hope I can be on your program again.
Thank you so much, Neil.